Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we delve into the art of public speaking and uncover how it can be a game changer for your professional growth and business success. In today's episode, we're exploring an increasingly powerful platform with the public speaking realm, podcasting. This medium isn't just about sharing stories or information. It's about building a community, establishing authority in your field, and yes, significantly boosting your bottom line. Whether you're a seasoned speaker or just starting out finding your voice, understanding the value of podcasting could be the key to unlocking new levels of success. And who better to guide us through this journey than our returning guest, the incomparable JJ Flizanes. JJ is not just a master in the art of empowerment strategy. She is a podcasting virtuoso with her own Powerful Mind Network, hosting multiple podcasts that captivate and educate listeners worldwide. JJ stands at the forefront of the podcasting world, not only producing content that touches hearts and minds of many, but also teaching aspiring podcasters the ins and outs of turning their passion into profit. With a portfolio that spans engaging and transformative podcasts, including the People's Choice Awards nominee, Spirit, Purpose, and Energy, JJ's proven that podcasting, it's more than just a platform. It's a powerful tool for connection, education, and empowerment. Beyond the microphone, JJ's a beacon of knowledge for those looking to make their mark in the podcasting space, offering masterclasses that demystify the process of monetizing one's podcasting efforts. So if you've ever wondered how to leverage podcasting to elevate your personal brand and build a dedicated community or enhance your income, you're in for a treat. JJ's insights into this are invaluable and literally tried and true. And her strategies for success are both innovative and accessible. So get ready to be inspired, educated, and perhaps even transformed, but definitely transfixed as we welcome back the phenomenal JJ Flizanes to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. It's a pleasure to have you back, JJ.
Kelly, I'm going to hire you to write my intros everywhere I go. I'm just going to have you follow me around and write my intros because that was amazing. Thank you so much.
Well, it's well earned, and I am excited to have you back. And very much what we're going to talk about today, and this was a hint after getting to go to your masterclass for podcasting, and we'll touch on that. What I am amazed at is, and what I have discovered myself, is that podcasting is such an intimate platform. There's a lot of people out there who are scared to death to talk on a huge stage, but this is very much like your Zoom experience in that it feels very intimate. You're having an intimate conversation with someone. I like that connectivity.
Me too. And the power that it has on converting listeners into clients and into raving fans who know, like, and trust you for years and years and years and years and years. There really just isn't another space like that. Video doesn't do that because people's attention span for watching YouTube videos is normally not as long as it is or as good as it is in podcasting. People on the average are higher IQ, higher paid, higher educated, more interested, more focused when they are podcast listeners, because when you have a show and they have subscribed to your show, there's a likelihood that they've watched or listened to the entire show versus when you are just looking at a YouTube video. Most people don't make it through the entire thing. They're looking for something specific. If it's longer, YouTube's a great platform to search, but it isn't the same in terms of the quality of your connections that you can make here on podcasting.
So what do you think are the qualities that really distinguish a great podcaster from a good one?
Okay, so that's going to vary depending on your goal. my partner in life and my partner in sometimes in podcasting things that we do together. Doug Sandler owns a podcast production company. Doug's father created one of the most successful, well-known sales trainings in the world called Sandler Sales Trainings. And together, put that together, Doug really loves his short-term sales. He offers a service where people come on. It's something that they help you produce podcasts and launch your podcast. But past that, it's a pretty easy, like, you have a need, I have a solution, let's get going. Not a lot of trust is needed, just an ability to say, well, this is a service, and if, you know, and hopefully it'll work for me and it will do well for me. So when you look at who's a really good podcaster, if you're a business owner already and you're successful in your business, having a podcast can only help you put butts in the seats if you are a business owner already. Now, if you're not a business owner, but you'd like to be, I'm going to say someone who has a mission, someone who talks and is a natural educator, someone who inspires, motivates, is interested in helping and giving back, and someone who would do it whether they had a podcast or not. Because this takes discipline in order to have a regular show. Most people don't have the discipline to do anything regularly. That's why the
So
fitness
true.
industry is the way it is, right? Like exercise, dieting. Why? Because most people don't do it because they're not disciplined enough to do it. So this medium, the way to reach people does have a bit of like, if you're consistent, it's like when we go to watch a show on Netflix or Hulu or whatever account we're looking at the time, we'll look for the shows that have multiple seasons before we'll go for a show with one season. Because when we know if we're going to spend the time and energy, we want to be in it for the long haul. We want to be entertained for a while. We don't want to have to look for another show. So
Yes.
if you're a consistent podcaster, besides algorithm, someone wants to know that you're actively posting and that you're fresh, your content's fresh, and that you're up to date, you're up to speed with whatever you're talking about, whatever's going on in the world. And so I think it's an important thing to mention that it, you need to have some kind of discipline or ability to be coached or have or pay for accountability or pay for support. If that's, you know, if you're not that person, but you can have a team to help you, that's great. But I always look for people who, like in my business, when I have people on my show that aren't podcasters, let's say they're doctors or they're educators or they're entrepreneurs and are healers. And I will sense like this person needs to be out in the world in a bigger way. And I'll say, well, because they're going to talk anyway. They're going to teach this stuff. They love what they teach. They love what they talk about. And for me, I'm all about efficiency. I don't want to have to tell the same thing three times. I don't want to, for me, when I started my show, regardless of how it ended up financially, because I said, I can do this for 2 years without making money because I have so much content. There is value in me archiving my content so that moving forward, if I don't do this, I can refer everyone I work with to the content I've already created so I don't have to teach it again. And then they can come back and we can meet with where they are after they take their time listening to the content I've already created. That just makes life a lot easier for me. In fact, I have people who are going through my programs right now and they're using like one particular person in my mastermind. He said, well, truth be told, I'm using some of the same tools that you used with me in our program on this guy. And I said, great. I go, well, sell him my course. Do you want to teach all the things that I taught? Sell him the course. We split the price. You get your affiliate fee. He can watch and learn it when you're not around and then do the work and then come back. And then you can actually spend the time on the real personalized coaching for him versus you explaining concepts. I said, whether, you know, this is not just because I want to make money off of your clients. This is, do you really want to spend the time every time you meet a new person explaining all of these things over and over again? I don't. This is why I made a course. So I think, and this is why, you know, I have a podcast because I can refer back to, I will literally not talk about things when I'm being interviewed or I'm teaching a class, if I know I've already had a 90-minute class on it, I'll just mention it and say, let's use this time. I'm going to direct you there so you can go watch it or listen to it there. I'm not going to spend this time we have together. You don't need to hear this 10 times. Let's talk about something new. Let's address what's going on for you. So I think just to wrap that up in a nice bow, someone who's passionate about what they do that would do it for free, who maybe is a good educator, someone's definitely a talker, storytellers. Someone who's passionate about what they do, and again, willing to tell anybody and everybody over and over again if they don't get paid for it. Someone who has some discipline, or at least is willing to get some accountability and support. Someone who has a business or a speaking career already and wants to get booked more, wants to sell more products, more coaching services, more masterminds, more, you know, tchotchkes, whatever you're selling, right? Having, you know, it will, a podcast can help your business, even if it's local or if it's national or international, you can definitely strategize your podcast to meet your needs.
Fabulous. That is succinct and to the point. Now, let me ask you, you were talking about lack of focus. A little bit of sidebar on that. Let's say you have someone that wants to get into the podcasting world, but they have a multitude of things they want to talk on that might be unrelated. You're the perfect person to address that, because when you started out, you had many areas of expertise or interest. How do you decide which is the one to go after in the podcast for the first podcast, et cetera? I know you'll be able to take it from there, but what do you think? What's the decision point? What's the criteria? Is it just about making money, or is it really more important that you look at what are you going to want to talk about for a long period of time?
Well, you just asked the key question. What's the goal of the podcast? When I started podcasting, money was not the immediate goal. The immediate goal was an outlet for all the things I wanted to talk about that my current clients weren't interested in. So I put my podcast out to test my content in the world, to see what do people want from me? What is exciting to them? What are they being attracted to? What are they listening to? What do they want? What are they responding to? So mine was a test, and I would never do it differently, because if you would have said to me, start 6 different podcasts all at the same time, I would have said, heck no, I'm not doing that. But to have 6 different days under one umbrella, it was one podcast with 6 different topics and 6 different themes. And after 18 months and 350 episodes, I was like, all right, well, because I wasn't a podcaster first and I didn't know what I didn't know, this is not a good way to test this content. Because if someone subscribed to my show, they're getting all these shows. So you can't tell if they like this one better than that one, because they're not cherry picking. They don't know if that's Movement Monday or Tasty Tuesday or Wellness Wednesday. They don't know the difference. They're all in the same podcast, JJ. You haven't figured that out yet. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Now I can go back and repurpose what I've already created now in 6 different shows. And when I put that first show out, Spirit, Purpose, and Energy, I had no lead magnets. I had no products. I had no coaching. I had no groups. I had nothing. And I put it out quickly because I had nothing. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to put this out, throw it out, walk away, and move on to the next one. I was like gearing up to the fitness one at the end because I had products and services and books and programs. But lo and behold, after I put it out in October of 2016, within 2 months, because I probably launched with 15 episodes, because I had 15 or 16 episodes. So when someone came to the show, they could binge a whole bunch of them right away. And I'd get emails. Oh my God, this content's changing my life. How can I get more? It's like, oh, okay. I don't know. Where can you get more? I guess I'll have to do more. And I had to like make some things for you people to put you somewhere. So all of a sudden it's like, and actually, Kelly, it's the perfect situation. To me, podcasting is a blessing in that when you can find a tribe, when you attract the people who are interested in what you're interested in. And of course, it shouldn't have been a surprise that the thing they wanted to talk about was law of attraction, because of all the different days of the week, while I'm highly educated on all the things I talked about, I was the most excited about, I was the most passionate about everything that went on that Freedom Friday day, which is spirituality, law of attraction, intuition, meditation, everything under the spiritual umbrella and emotional umbrella. So it's like, I shouldn't have been surprised, like, oh, this show is actually taking off, because I was in alignment. I was passionate. I was channeling, so to speak. And so people were feeling me and then coming to me and saying, okay, I want more. This is changing my life. So I live in this space still to this day where I create things for the people who are in my community. I don't make something like, as a trainer, I'd make things that I think people needed. Here's the science of personal training and weight loss and, you know, how to rehab your joints and how to slow down aging and how to thrive and be vital as you know, blah. And I look at the world and see everyone doing not that. So it's very easy to say, make something for the, because they need it. Okay. Make this thing that they need. Right. But they need it, but they don't want it. And they're not going to buy it. And until you test if they're going to buy it, you waste a lot of time making stuff nobody wants. So with my community, I got to say, as I brought them into to a place to meet them, I got to say, what do you need? And I created a way to get to know them. And I created content, again, that spoke to me, that spoke to them. And then I would ask, I said, hey, it looks like maybe I'll create a course on strengthening intuition. Maybe I'll create a course on astrology. Who would be interested in that? Oh, me. Okay. So now I have a list of people who are going to buy the thing I'm going to make, which is a lot better than guessing if this is going to work or not. And then, of course, I get to make the product with them live in real time. So they're paying first, then I get to make it. And it all just sort of works out. So this is a constant dance and evolution of me with them, which is why I'm moving into my 10 years of podcasting this September. It'll be September 7th will be my 10th year of podcasting. And I have people that have been listening to me for 7, 8 years. Not, I mean, like, I don't know how many, but like there's a whole handful of people. Yesterday I spoke to somebody who's considering doing one of my like big programs. And I said, how long have you been listening? And she goes, oh, 4, 5, 6 years. I was like, oh, okay. I go, maybe it's time to do this program now. She's like, yeah, every time you talk about an event, I say, well, I should go to that or I should do that program. But because of this intimate relationship that you build with them through podcasting, they feel like they know you. So when they are ready, they just show up and they're ready and like credit card in hand. Okay, I'm ready for you. There's no selling. There's no dancing of, oh, let me tell you what I do. Let me do the song and dance that as a speaker. Every time you go to a new stage, and I'm not knocking, speaking is great, but every time you go to a new stage, you have new people, you got to do the dance. To do the dance of, let me show you who I am. Here's how you trust me. Here's why I'm credible. Ugh. Like, and that gets like, oh, it's like on repeat. I don't want to do that. I love walking into a room full of people that are up to speed and know who I am, what I'm doing, and what I talked about last week. And it's not because of my ego. It's because then we can continue the conversation. I don't have to go back and wonder, are you going to be on board with all the things I talk about? Are you interested? Do I have to test the waters and gain the respect and rapport? No, it's already there. Let's get to work. That's what I love.
Oh, what a blessing. I know that there are people out there listening to this that are so grateful to hear that you're really creating this content, but you're actually doing it with the audience because you have the feedback, you know in advance, and you don't have to do that awful dog and pony show, which many of us just loathe, right? It's so much nicer to have a target audience that's with you, that you have a community. Better to have a community than an audience. Yes.
Right, because a community is they're self-chosen that they want to be there. They're already pre-qualified. They keep coming over and over again. An audience is a bunch of people that may not know you, may not like you, may not trust you, and doesn't and you don't know what you got to do to get them there. And some of them may never get there because they're not the right people. And you don't know that yet, but you have to go through it. And at the end of it, if you're happy to get 20% or 30% of the people into your community, then that's a great day. But I have to tell you, coming into a room full of live people who've flown from all over the world to come see you. That already know you, like you and trust you and listen to your show is a whole different experience because it's humbling, but it's very super connected. And again, like I said, I'm interested in doing the work. I don't need to hear myself talk. I talk enough. I'm here to help you get to whatever you want to do. And now we can get started because I don't have to do the dog and pony show in order to get you to know, like, and trust me. Like, and you're already on board with all the things I talk about. And I'm pretty extreme. So people, when they come together in my community, they click instantly because there's this instant trust of, oh, if you follow her, nothing that's going to come out of my mouth is going to be weird for you. Versus if I try to talk about what I learned from her on in my family, they're going to think I'm nuts. So, right. So you create this sort of world and this community that really yeah, there's nothing like it. And it's not by chance or by accident. It can be strategic. And I think as a podcaster, that's what I've been focusing on recently. Like I met with a podcaster yesterday, a business owner who's starting a podcast or she's redoing her podcast. And what we, you know, and I asked her a bunch of questions because she wants to start a community. But people aren't thinking about the strategy that goes into starting and building that community and how you get engagement, how you create your offers, how you put in your all of the different, even just your episodes. How do you schedule your production? Why does that episode go before or after that episode? It's all strategic. And especially if you have an offer, you want to work backwards because sales is psychology, but so are relationships. And I treat my podcast like one big relationship with my community. And I'll switch things around based on like the feeling of where we're going. And like right now, I'm in an enrollment period. And so I have one more episode or two more episodes left before this program starts. And so I have to use this time wisely with what I choose to put in that to help strengthen my offers. To get people into the program. So again, it all of the call to actions, all of the products, programs, and offers, all of the episode placements, all of it, all the guest placements to me is strategic. And most people don't. So, you know, in terms of what I think we talked in my first episode last week with you, sort of my empowerment strategist piece, but I'm still an empowerment strategist, even in podcasting, because it's still about the strategy. It's still having a plan and it's still being able to execute that plan and not just do it willy-nilly and think, especially for me, when you want to build a community, every conversation counts. And it's not like, and no disrespect, this is not about you, so don't take this personally. Some shows are just business shows. And this can happen in any genre. It doesn't even matter. Like Doug, let's use Doug's show. Nice guy on business. Nice guys on business. The only through line is him and his partner Strickland. They have two shows a week. One's an interview show that Strickland's not on. And then they do their Friday fuckery. Sorry if I can't say that on the show. But anyway, that's the name of the show. So Friday fuckery day. And it's just them talking about nothing for an hour and laughing and giggling and listening to their voicemails from their audience. And it's pure fun and entertainment. That's their through line. But the business show that Doug does, he'll interview all kinds of different people, but they're not necessarily connected, and they're not connected to necessarily a mission, because Doug doesn't sell to his show, his audience. His audience are not his buyers. So he can have interviews that come in and out that aren't connected at all because he's not on a mission. I'm on a mission. And a lot of women entrepreneurs or business owners are on a mission, whether you know it or not. You're not just in it for the money. There's some kind of message you're selling, whether you know it or not. There's something you want, how you want the world to change. There's something about what you want everyone to know or believe or see or do. And you got to figure that out so that you understand, like, the center of the spoke on the wheel. The spokes all come from the center. I think the podcast should be the center of everyone's business and then direct you to your email list or to your events or to your whatever, and to your blog or to your whatever else you do. But if you think of it as the center and you understand what your through line is and what your mission is, then I think you can program more effectively.
So what I love about your journey is always, you know, from beginning to even when in your mastery class, you show starting from the very beginning, how you're just figuring it out along the way. And now you have this incredible strategy. What does a new person do to discover what their strategy is? And yes, I'm going to send them to your class by the end of this, because it'll make all the difference in the world. But give them a few breadcrumbs to let them know, where do you start when you're putting your strategy together? Aside from, you need to know where you're going. What is it you want to accomplish with this podcast? That's number one.
Yes, that's definitely number one. Are you looking for, do you need to make money fast? Are you trying to build community? Are you trying to create influence? What is the goal of the podcast? And do you have time frames on these? Because like I said, I had a 2-year time frame that I didn't need to make any money or didn't, like, that wasn't the focus, because I just wanted to test my material. Now, starting with spirit, purpose, energy, and now I kind of have, like, oh, now I know where to start. Now I know. Now my goal is making money, but it wasn't before. And so I think being clear about where you are, there was one of Doug's clients here this past weekend, and he's not my client yet, but boy, does he need me. Oh my God. He, lovely man with a passion and a mission, no freaking strategy and no commit. Like, they're chasing dollars. So when you chase money, you don't have a through line, because what's driving you is that you have to make money. It's not a good place to start from. Can you strive to make money and be on a mission? Absolutely. But there are some adjustments that are going to need to be made in that case, because you know when it feels, I'm going to use the word alignment, but for anyone, you can say it feels good. It feels like you're in the zone. It feels like things are connected. They feel congruent. They feel authentic. They feel organic. That's what we're looking for, is that piece of, like, how to do this. When I first started podcasting, I did hire somebody, and I would recommend that everybody hire somebody, because you don't know what you don't know. I didn't know what I didn't know. Now, I hired the wrong person.
I've heard this before too.
I hired the wrong person. Lovely person, friend of mine, grew up with her, went to church with her, looked at her Twitter account. She was killing it on Twitter. I wasn't doing Twitter, but she knew about podcasting. But I thought, if I'm going to spend the money, I want to spend on someone that I know, like, and trust. I know, like, and trust her. But again, she wasn't a podcaster. She kind of understood podcasting. I learned some things from another podcaster. And then she helped me sort of integrate Twitter and podcasting. But I don't even like Twitter. I don't even use Twitter. So again, I hired the wrong person. But at least I had the idea of, I knew that I didn't know stuff. And if you're going to learn something, why would you spend the time or waste the time? Like, how much is it going to cost you to keep failing or fumbling? Why not just have somebody help you with a strategy right away, so you have the ability to be more successful. And from the get-go, you can put it in order. Because sometimes if someone's starting and you only have a couple episodes out and you kind of are creaking by, those first episodes are going to count when they see you. Now, if you catch it later and you're, you know, I'm on the 700th of Fit to Love, and I'm probably, if you tally up all my interviews and shows, I'm definitely over 1500 episodes at this point. But if you were to listen to all of them, they get better and better and clearer as I get clearer. So start out trying to get clear. It doesn't mean it's not going to change. You absolutely can change your game at any point in time when you discover something or life unfolds, your business, your podcast unfolds in such a way that it leads you down a different direction. Fine. But having clarity in the beginning of some goal, of some reason of why you're doing this, what do you need from it? How am I going to get this done? And do I know all the parts and pieces that go into this? And if you don't, hire somebody. There's plenty of people out there, plenty that teach broadcasting. I don't know how good I think all of them are, but there are a lot of people. So you just find someone who, and I'll just say one more thing about that because there's another podcaster and he was terrible. Terrible, terrible podcaster. Didn't made a lot of money from his list and from his live events, but not from as being a podcaster. So he had a room full of people and like 200 people were there. And raise your hand, how many of you came from my podcast? Not a single person. Raise your hand if you came from my email list. Well, most people's hand goes up. Well, for me in a room, how many people are here for my podcast? 100% hands are up because of my podcast. Find someone doing what you want to do. And that's who you hire. Do not hire someone who doesn't know how to build a community if you want to build a community. Don't hire someone who's working with corporate sales who doesn't know corporate sales. Find the right person to hire based on where you want to go. So they have, I mean, I ended up taking a lot of those like clients from this person because he was trying to coach people in an area he had no expertise in. They wanted to build communities like me. I'm like, hello, I can help you. I do that. He doesn't do that. So find the right person who's doing what you're doing or want to be doing.
It's great advice. If you think of any really successful athlete out there, they did it by getting a coach. They got it. They got there because they had someone helping them along the way to keep them on track and to be witnessing what was going on and make small shifts in what they do. So I think being mentored is the most exquisite way to learn anything. But you kind of taught yourself so much of this along the way, and being in a position where you did not have to make money for 2 years, and you could afford to experiment. I mean, that's a wonderful, trial and error process. A couple things I wanted to ask you. One is there are people out there who are perfectionists, and they feel, gosh, I really want to perfect this first before I put myself out there in the internet. Once it's out there, it's going to be out there forever, and it'll come back and bite me. And I get from you that you put it out there and just grow with the process and do your best to do a good job, but do it. Just get out there and it'll get better and better over time. Is that correct?
Yeah, that perfectionistic fear is just an upper limit saying that I'm afraid of criticism and I don't think I'm good enough. So as long as you're stuck in that, then you're never going to do any of this. So part of growing is doing. Part of neuroplasticity and changing the way that your brain fires and is and healing. Like, so one of my programs is called Rewiring Your Core Wound Patterns. I help people heal core wounds. How do you heal a core wound? You stretched past the uncomfortable place of what you already believed so that you can learn to believe something different. But you can't get there without doing it. You can't get there without the uncomfortableness of the stretch into something new, because if you're comfortable, then it's not new. If this is what you do and you're not being challenged on that, then you'll never get out of that bubble or that box. So the excuse of perfectionism is just really you're afraid. That's all.
You're afraid. Just do it anyway. All right, now let's go back to another thing you were talking about. So money, you were in a great position to not do that. To not have to make that a major requirement of being a podcaster. For those people that they don't have that luxury, they want to know, can you really make money podcasting? Is it really a good revenue generator? What do you say to that?
Well, it is if you understand how to work it. And that's why we did the masterclass that you're going to point people to later. It's called The Three Fastest Ways to Make Money Podcasting. And if you need to make money podcasting quickly, again, I still would say that I would promote that you do it within the integrity and authenticity of the mission and messages of your show. So if you happen to see my masterclass, which is free, don't try to put on a system that doesn't fit you or that feels really icky. Find a way for the two to come together so that you can make money in the early stages of podcasting before you get your flow and before you figure it out. Because part of this is a journey that continues to unfold, shift and change. Everybody, even the top podcasters, continue to shift and change and grow. Because the more people that you bring into your community, the more feedback they get, you get. And then depending on what's happening in the world and then internally in your life and relationships, that all influences what's important to you and how you show up in the world. So I would say, if you need to make money, podcasting might not be the place to start. Because it's a long game. It's not a short game. This is not, like, let's be honest. This is the slow and steady wins the race here. This isn't a you're going to have 10 episodes out and somehow be internet famous. No, it's not how it happens. Or that you're going to get sponsors and advertisers. No, unless you're already famous with an already huge list. And in their cases, Mariel Hemingway was on my show, and I told Mariel, I'm like, why don't you have a podcast? And then when she launched it, I told her, like, who else to hook up with that has huge. I mean, she's Mariel Hemingway. Like, she already has a list. So she's going to have a big following straight away as soon as she starts her show, which she does. So that, but that's not the majority of us. So figure out if podcasting is the right step for you, because don't jump into this again with this idea, this lavish idea that I'm going to get clients right away. And you might, if you follow the strategies that we talk about in that successfully, but if you don't, then you're going to give up and all that time and effort is going to be wasted on something that I'm telling you. You can build your own cash machine. So the client I just talked about yesterday, well, she's not a client yet, but she's a listener. 4, 5, 6 years she's been listening to me. That because the kind of work that I do, that's the kind of time people take to pony up to be ready to work on their core wounds. Now, that's not everyone's business. If you're teaching money, you're gonna have a lot more people show up quickly. Oh yeah, I need money. Like, please, I'll pay you to help me figure out how to make money or how to. Absolutely. But wouldn't it be nice to build a community that is with you for so long that anytime you make a new thing, they're all like, yeah, I want to do that. You already have customers for the thing that you've just created. You don't have to go find more people. You don't have to go knocking on doors and sending out emails wondering, is anyone going to do this? Because you already know that you have built this community that's literally coming with you. It's like this group, like you have your own band, and they come with you wherever you go, and they keep paying you because they keep wanting to, because they keep getting results and they keep doing well, and they want to up level because you're up leveling. So I would strongly urge you to think about if you have to make money quickly, are you in the right position? And I definitely recommend watching three fastest ways to make money podcasting, because that could help you determine if you're in the correct position right now. Who do you know? What assets do you already have? What connections do you already have? What's the messaging that you're going to be using? Who are your clients? What do you want? What are you offering them? The guy that we the Tug's client that was here, such a nice man. I said he did this whole presentation. I said, what are you selling? He don't know. And I just kept my mouth shut because he's not my client. And he's like, maybe I'll be on your show. I said, no, you have to hire me first, because I'm going to blow up your stuff and put it back together, because you don't even know what you're offering. Like, you have this theory and this idea and you're very passionate about it, but you have no idea who's going to buy it. Who wants it? Who are we treating? What's the need? What's the pain point? What do people need that you're solving? He doesn't know those answers. You have to know those answers. You have to know those answers for your business. So don't think it's any different for your podcast. You are effective in the world as a business owner when someone has a problem you can solve. You got to know what their problem is and how you solve it in order for someone to pay you.
Those would be the basics that you absolutely must have. So, talk to me then about collaboration and the power of collaboration for you. So many people are out there using joint venture partners. I'd love your take on this. And how do you choose those joint venture partners or the people that you collaborate with? You're very familiar with the affiliate world, but possibly some of our listeners aren't. I'd love for you to share your take on that and how specific you get with who you invite into your world.
Well, I'd love it to be, well, yes, you're right. I do. I'm very specific about who I invite into my world, but not everyone I invite into my world wants to put me in their world. Okay. Let's be clear about that. So because I don't need guests and people pitch me all the time and think it's a collaboration. I'm like, no, that's not, I don't need you. I do solo shows. I interview repeat guests. It's topic based. So for a joint venture, I'm in one currently right now, and I'm about ready to create another one. I'm just going to duplicate what I just did. It's very effective. But through the guest seat, through the people that I've brought on to the show, I was looking for people who were in alignment with my message, with the things that I think are important. Again, investing in your emotional health to help your physical health, as well as your relationships and your longevity and your business, and how important I think that is, even above and beyond all the physical things. And so I've had a bunch of doctors on who are kind of who I've been told and who I know have studied and sort of are on that page. But it's taken me a long time, and I've built relationships through those doctors. And some of them, like, we click instantaneously, and we like go on and on and on and talk and talk and talk and talk, and we're just feeding each other. And you have that person on several times, and then that person becomes your client. And then you try to say, okay, well, I can help your patients too. And so that's what I'm in right now, where now I'm being featured in that doctor's patient like email list. And we did a class, and they're now all on my schedule to have a conversation with me about what they do next, if they do one of my courses or if I create a group for them. And because of the alignment of the doctor and I, it's very easy. I'm getting a lot of people signing up for these free strategy sessions I don't normally offer. I don't even offer them to my people, but because I what I said was sign up for it because we're going to do something next. Like, so this is basically a sales call. And I don't know if you know Dr. William Davis. He wrote the book Wheat Belly and all the Wheat Belly cookbooks and Undoctored and Super Gut. Anyway, Dr. Davis and I are like super friends now. I mean, he loves me. If you go to Defiant Health, his podcast, I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, and he interviewed me a couple of weeks ago. And I thought, oh, I'm going to ask Dr. Davis. He's doing my summit. I said, I wonder if he knows some more famous podcasters, famous doctors that I could have on my summit. Let me go look at his podcast and see who he's interviewed. He has like seven interviews, and I'm three of them. So I was like, okay, well, I guess that is not going to be what I'm going to ask him. So I've built a relation, a really strong relationship with him. He really values what I do, and he does not do any of that in his community. So I'm going to rinse and repeat. We're going to have a webinar. He's going to invite all of his people that are interested in the topic. And then from there, I will create something for them, whether it be a self-study course that I already have, or I'll do a group, a coaching call with them. So that's the power of joint ventures, because I'm being introduced to hundreds, if not thousands, of new potential customers that I don't know. They don't know me. Well, they do. Some of them know me, but they're not, but I have the joint venture of the person, Dr. Davis or Dr. Rahav, who are like literally saying, here, I trust this person. I love their work. You want to work with them. So I'm getting the endorsement of who of their that person. And then again, it's going to be a huge payday for all of us, very, in the next couple of weeks, because I'm going to create something and boom, and everybody wins. They get help. I have new clients, and they get a commission, a nice 50% commission on anything that I sell because of the introduction, and everybody gets help. So you don't have to do this through podcasting, but the great thing about podcasting is that you can have these conversations. Having a platform allows you to give back, allows you to promote, and to basically also you say, I believe in this person that I'm having on my show, and you get to show the world. So basically, you're giving them a platform that they otherwise don't have. I mean, they have their own community, but now I'm allowing them into my community, and I'm saying, listen to this doctor, buy his things, and now we have a relationship. And it doesn't happen with everybody, but it happens with the right people. And when you find that, and even if you have 20 to 50 episodes or interviews, and you find that one right person, that's a payday, and a relationship is going to keep giving back to you over and over and over again.
And it's set up so authentically. The thing is, it comes from a real understanding of each other. It's not just the numbers game. Oh, how big is your list? My list is this big. It's not just a trade out. It's really based on quality and what you can offer to each other's community.
Yeah, it's finding people you actually want to talk to. And what,
Imagine.
like, well, but some people don't do that. People literally, we've seen people, podcasters, that will have this routine list of questions. They ask everybody the same question. They're not really listening. And if they do listen, they don't veer off into like their audio. I can't even listen to a show that does that. I don't like have a real conversation. I mean, unless, and that's fine. Hey, to each his own. If that's a show that you relate because you like the stability of knowing what the next question is, but I want magic to happen. I want to see where it goes. I want to see what happens next. I want to go. Sometimes I go in places I don't even know we're going, and then it's so alive. It's so in the moment. It's so intimate. It's so vulnerable. And that is why I think I have a following of people that have been with me for 10 years, because they feel me, and that's what happens with this podcasting. When you have a microphone in front of your mouth, and someone is listening in their ear, and they can't see you, it's like you're talking to them in their ear. You're standing next to them. The frequency, the energy of a podcast is so much more powerful than a video because you go with them. You go with them when they walk or they run or they're cleaning their house or they're right going in the grocery store or they're doing an errand. And it's this again in the ear, that vulnerability that, you know, it's really quick. And it's also a really great way to put yourself out there, I think, if you're afraid, like I was, of being weird or too out there. Because the great thing about podcasting, if someone doesn't like you, they're moving on. They're going to listen to 5 seconds, go, oh, no. And then they're going to move on to the next person. They don't have to reject you to your face. They don't have to ask for a refund. They don't have to walk out of the room. You'll never know them. You'll never see them. It's the great thing about podcasting.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. But it does let you know you do get. So talk about engagement and metrics and all the analytics attached to that. You get all that kind of feedback, but you're at least not wasting your time. Your time isn't being wasted on people who aren't interested, and vice versa. It's very
Right.
mutually decided upon, which is not bad.
Right. And I'll just say the other word of evergreen. Evergreen is an amazing concept because you can just say it once and then it can live on forever. And years later, you'll have someone say, I heard this show and that person's podcast. And are you still doing that work or do you still have that class? And you can say yes or no. And you've just gotten a client that you spent an hour 10 years ago, you know, working on. It's evergreen is awesome.
So I love it that you have so many strategies and methods and everything's been so well thought out and first experienced. You really are an adventurer and you really don't mind taking a chance. I think that's the thrill for you. You can just tell. If it didn't have a lot of legs to it, I suspect you would get bored easily. You have to have a lot of things flowing through your life and it's got to be growable. I look at some of the information I researched prior. You got 4.5 million downloads. I think you must be doing something right. You're in
That's just for
175.
one show.
That's crazy. You're in 175 countries. Come on now. And you're over 1,000 episodes. I think you know a little bit about podcasting. I think we could call you. I don't like the word expert. I never really got excited about it, but I think in this case you're expert aficionado in podcasting. So I really want you to be able to tell people about the three fastest ways to make money podcasting. Thank you so much for opening up the door for me. I loved it. I couldn't stop listening. That's good content, especially if you're listening late at night and the day's over and you think, wait a minute, I gotta have this information. So share with the audience what happens in this experience of getting involved with you on this level, where they start. The three fastest ways to make money podcasting. Good title.
Thanks. Well, if you've watched it and listened to it, then you know what's in it. So it's being able to outline some of those things for people. And I can't help but cover because again, like I said today in this interview, and you asked me about podcasting, you know, if it's depending on the kind of podcast that you have, some of those things may not work for you right away. So you have to really evaluate what your strategy is and what your business plan is for your podcast and where it fits into the business you already have, if you already have a business, or if it doesn't, if it's a new thing. So these are questions you have to know going in. Doesn't mean they're not going to change, just means you can focus and be clear and make good decisions, good long-term decisions about what you're going to try or test right away. But we go over like the sort of business plan, different options of your podcast business plan. And then we move into the three fastest ways to make money podcasting. And we tell you the different things and we explain how to do it. It's about a 90-minute class. It's Doug and I. And again, if there are 25 ways to make money podcasting, we've done 24 of them. So we kind of cover, we do it differently. Our methods are very different in terms of how we make money. But we both make 100% of our income from our podcast. So, and we have for the last 5 years. So, you know, that's like millions of dollars. So I would say,
Stunning.
we can help people, but we give you the tools in the webinar. So you can just watch the class and take notes and use that. And of course, we give people an option if they want to have a strategy session to see what else is possible or how, you know, what their podcast. What we would think about their podcast, that's available too, one time. because, you know, we understand, especially if you're not even set on what you're doing yet, or you're like, you like the idea of it, but maybe you're not a strategist. Doug is not a strategist. That's why he does the short-term things. He's a sales guy. He knows how to get the job done for sales. I know sales and I know strategy because it's psychology. So it's looking at, I have that sort of Aquarius Mercury where I see like future things, like I can, right? And I pace and I can really get you into a flow of understanding how to even like lay out your episodes. Cause some people say, well, I'm just going to throw out these episodes. I don't know. And I'm like, well, hold on. What's the order? Where's the call to action? Where are you putting them? Are you building a community? Do you have engagement? What's your, you know, all the things, all the questions you have to ask. But I'll tell you that once you learn it and you personalize it for your podcast, you can rinse and repeat and you understand and you can do it again and again. So this is not like a, it's a teaching. Like you go to the doctor, you have your blood work done, you do your labs, you do your scans, whatever. The doctor gives you feedback based on your personalized results. Well, that's what people need when you want to be efficient with your time. So that's what we're doing. So you can find it at jjflzanes.com. It's on the homepage. It's the third sort of free offer of different classes that I'm teaching. And yeah, I hope you guys will check it out.
It's stunning. I can say I'm completely grateful for it. And thank you so much. I think our viewers are going to go crazy. Our listeners are going to go crazy for this. It's just what they needed. And it allows you to implement. There's a lot of people out talking about what you should do, what can be done. But actually, what you've put together allows people to decide and implement. And I think that's extremely helpful today with the noise that's out there. My last question to you today is, tell me, what are you most proud of so far? You've done so many things and you're leaving a legacy, but what is the thing that you're most proud of that you've done?
Well, it's a community. This program that I'm doing, it's called, well, this year it's called Rewire and Evolve because it's a 6 months. But the first 3 months is called Rewiring Your Core Wound Patterns. And it's been something I've been developing. So that's my program. And then like the niche piece is that I've created a core wound map. I'm very proud of my core wound map. It's been years and years and years of working on this, not even realizing what I was working on. It's just because I'm a problem solver. And if I can't solve the problem, then I figure a new way. And working with the core wounds, the way that my brain works, when I know something, when I'm aware of something, when I see a pattern, because I've seen it now, I can't unsee it and I will change my behavior. Now that's not most people. And I recognize that. So I used to think just telling you the information, showing it to you would be enough for people to change their behavior. And I learned, oh, no, that's not enough for some people. So I've had to learn how to, with different brain, the way people process information and emotions, how to give different options on how to make changes and rewire your core wound patterns. So this core wound map, I'm definitely very proud of the map, but it's not the map. The map got created because of my community, because of the people that come to the table ready to do the work with me, ready to invest in themselves to get the work done. And these are investments. These aren't a couple hundred dollar programs. So when they, but their whole lives change. They get out of depression. They find relationships. They, you know, change course. Their lives change for the better all the time. And I can't do that work without trust. So what I'm most proud of is the fact that I have people who've been, I had an application yesterday come in and I screamed because this is someone who I wanted to do this program 3 years ago, but she didn't do it. And she's in my membership. And I, you know, in a way I've kind of given up on her because she didn't listen, but she's, I think now ready. I'll meet her today and have a conversation with her. She knows how much it costs. So I'm thinking she's ready, but it's the trust piece. When you know your audience trusts you, that's a big deal to know that what I put on the show. That's why I can sit in a place of it's not arrogance. It's not, I think I'm so whatever. I don't care if anyone thinks that, but that's not what it is. When someone comes to me and they want to be on my show as if I need, like, I'm like, no, it's a privilege to be on my show. I have an audience. And if I believe in your stuff and I tell them to buy it, they will. I've like cultivated, and again, kind of like what Oprah cultivated, right? Oprah said, buy it, everyone bought it. I'm not there yet with the amount of people that buy it. But it is that they trust me. And that's a big deal for me because my family doesn't listen to what I say, right? My core wounds are devalued and, you know, I'm weird in my family. So that's what I'm most proud of is building a community of people who literally trust me and know and feel no matter how intense, no matter how bossy, no matter how a strong opinioned I am, that I have their best interests at heart as well as like they feel me. They know that. That's what I'm most proud of. This relationship that I have with my community is, It's healed my own core wounds. It's been amazing.
It's not a surprising answer from you. You are so aligned. You are so in your lane. I trust you to the moon, but I've told you that already. I just think you have such good judgment, such good heart, and everything about you is very congruent. You are connected and you are a connector. And I'm just beyond grateful to have had you on this show. I thank you so much for coming back. To everybody listening, I had to have her back. It wasn't enough the first time. And so I'm just thrilled that she came to talk about this and to bring her expertise to this and her authenticness to it. And honestly, your candidness and your ideas, and boy, the methods and strategies that are in your masterclass, if you're interested in podcasting, you want to check this out. It's been nothing but invaluable to have you here. And for those listening, check her out. Look at the resources she has on her website, jjflizanes.com. There's a wealth of knowledge and resources she's got to offer, that she has to offer, that you have access to. And if you're serious about leveraging podcasting to its fullest potential, you just don't want to miss this masterclass. I mean, it's titled Three Fastest Ways to Make Money Podcasting. I don't think of this as a, that's interesting. I think of it as a must-have. So you'll find more information, and it's jam-packed, and there's so many other things on her website. It's a journey, it's an exploration, it's an adventure. It's not a big surprise. So one key thing I took away from today is that it stands out that what's really important is the connection in podcasting. And that it's not just about the content that you produce, it's how you resonate with the audience on a personal level. Clearly, that's what works in JJ's world, and that will attract and connect a community that trusts and values your voice and your message. So, JJ, thank you for being here today.
Kelly, always a pleasure. Thank you for having me back.
As we wrap up today's episode, now you're very clear about the incredible power of podcasting as a platform for public speaking. It offers really an unparalleled opportunity for entrepreneurs to attract new audiences and expand that well-known know, like, and trust factor and truly make an impact. And in a world that's cluttered with messages, your voice can and should be heard, and it should be heard compellingly. And you can do that on podcasting because it's so intimate. And as always, I want to thank everybody that is listening out there for being with us today. Your engagement means the world, and it lets us know that this content and our guests, they're really helpful to you and they encourage you to get out there more. So please share your comments, subscribe, let us know because it's really much appreciated. And your support lets us grow our community and spread the message that speaking about what you can do truly can make all the difference for you, yes, for your business, maybe even the world. And remember, in the realm of success, silence is not golden. It's an opportunity lost. So speak up, speak out, and let the world hear what you have to offer. And until next time, I can't wait to have another conversation with all of you. Thanks so much for being here. I want to thank you for joining us on this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. If you found value in today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an empowering conversation. We'd also appreciate it if you could leave us a review and share the show with your friends, colleagues, and your fellow visionaries. Until next time, keep speaking, keep growing, and keep reaching to make your difference. This is Kelly O'Hara, signing off from the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.